This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
And we'll turn in our Bibles to the book of Job. We were reading here Thursday night, and we'd like to extend that thought a little bit further. As you're turning in your Bibles, I'm sure all of us, all we have to do is walk outside and think about the men and women that are placing their lives at risk in Shasta County and these terrible events that have unfolded. My heart goes out to the people that live there and the ones that are working so hard to save lives and property. I'm sure you're praying for them. And these are difficult summers. It wasn't always like this. We didn't always get to the middle of summer and California started burning. It wasn't always like this. And so these are hard times. But we trust God that He's able to help these dear ones. Job 31, verse 6. Amen. We were speaking on Thursday about difficult times and how God can help us through those things. And when we get, we started at the beginning of the book, and we recounted the physical and emotional and spiritual trial that Job found himself in when he was attacked by Satan. There's no other way to say it. And his desire was to be faithful and to let his faith manage his trial, but he found it very difficult to the point where he despaired even of his life. Right in chapter 3, it told us that he cursed the day that he was born. He was suffering, not only physically and emotionally, but spiritually as well. He was having a hard time connecting with God. And we thought, well, if we ended the book right there, it would have been a sad story. Here was a man who was his life was ruined. But that wasn't the point of the whole story. And so by the time we get to the end of the chapter, end of the book rather, here in the 31st, and it goes further, but here in the 31st chapter, there's a principle here that God wants us to get out of the calamity of Job. And this is what we'll speak about this morning. Let me be weighed in an even balance, or a just balance, that God may know mine integrity. It was Job's desire that through all the trouble that he was having, trying to figure out why this happened to him, that God would be fair to Job. And when we go through life's calamities and just everyday living and we're desperately trying to find the reason for things, or we're trying to find, and what the word is we'll use today is balance. We're trying to find balance in life because all we want is to be able to get a fair hearing ultimately by God. Well, then we want to be weighed in a just balance. And that was Job's heart's desire, because he knew that his ultimate judge was God. And somehow he's having a very difficult time making sense of the life that he's living and understanding how God is somehow going to be fair to him. Because in the mind of his mind, his day, he's thinking that I must have done something horribly wrong, or there must be some great defect in me that I find myself constantly and over time suffering like this, and my wealth, my health, everything taken from me. What is it about me that somehow is not like the other? They're doing all right, they're getting by, but somehow I am suffering like this. And he's can you see the agony in his own mind that he's trying to figure this out? And so he asks God, he says, I just want to be weighed in an even balance. I just want to be judged like everybody else. And then know, and I want to know that when you're done weighing me, that I'm okay. that you found me accepted in your sight. That's what he's seeking here. Proverbs chapter 11. And so there's a few verses here, we'll let you be seated, that speak to this balance that we'll speak about this morning. 11th chapter of Proverbs in verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Or another way to say that word is a false balance is idolatry in God's eye. That's what abomination ultimately means. It means that it's this idea that God is not first. And a false balance is not created by God, but is created in opposition to God, either from the enemy of souls or even by ourselves. That a false balance, God has nothing to do with a false balance. Therefore, a false balance must be created by something other than God. And anything other than God, which is going to weigh judgment, is idolatry. Because it is using something that is not of God to ultimately weigh judgment. And that is idolatry. So he says a false balance is an abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. Because God is the author of just balances. Fair balances. Father, we thank you for your blessing this morning. We pray that you would continue to honor our worship and our service here. Lord, that you'd have your way with all the conditions that surround us, the fears and the terrors and all the things that just are part of everyday life, but during this season they seem to be especially severe. So we pray, God, that you'd go beyond the four walls of our service this morning. Let this gathering be a place where our prayer reaches you for needs that are beyond our own. But Lord, we pray that you'd have your way with our heart and mind this morning. Help us be able, Father, to take something in our own heart that'll help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. Okay. We'd like to speak about the eternal balance this morning, a just balance, godly balance. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 23. This is an eternal principle. That's why you see it being repeated over and over in wisdom and then also in the book of Job, and we'll find it in the next verses as well. Diverse weights, different weights, are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So you think of a scale, and you think of a just balance as being weighed equally, right? So neither end of that scale is below the other, but they're both level in your sight. There's an equal weight on both sides, so that whatever is being weighed in a just manner by these weights here. It's not a false balance, but a just balance. And so that's the way we want our life to be, is in balance, being weighed by the Word of God, amen? So that our behavior, our motive, our actions are being justly weighed by the Word of God, and that is what is weighing us. That's what we want. We want the Word of God to weigh us. And we'll speak about the Word of God weighing us versus our opinion or other philosophy weighing us, because that God has a word for that as well. We want the Word of God to be our weight, to weigh us. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Because ultimately, this also is one of the seven seals that God loosed for the prophet. So once again, you see this eternal principle of a just balance. And in the third seal, in chapter 6, in verse 5, and when he opened the third seal, I behold the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And then he went on, talked about the fourth seal. But the third seal, there is a rider on a black horse, and the rider has a pair of balances in his hand, or a scale in his hand. And there's a voice that tells him to, or explains that he is weighing something. And the first thing that he's weighing is a measure of wheat. And on the one side is a measure of wheat, and on the other side is a penny. That's a word that we use, but they used another word, a measure of money. Now, you would think if it was a just balance, that measure of wheat would be balanced by the money, right? So in other words, what we say is, if it's balanced, well then, that's a fair cost, a fair payment for the wheat, right? Now, a measure of wheat was what a worker could consume in a day. It was a day's provision. That's what a measure of wheat was. And the same was true as a measure of barley. A measure of barley would have been another measure of what a worker could consume in a day back in this time. And it had a value, just like things have a value today. Everything in here has a fair value. Today we call this fair market value, what the market will pay for the item that's being sold. Everything has a value. So back then, a measure of wheat was worth a certain amount. And a measure and three measures of barley was worth a certain amount. Well, people know how much these things were worth because there's historical record of this and so forth. And a measure of wheat was not worth a penny. It was probably worth 8 to 10 times that. Or in the language used here, 8 to 10 pennies, not one. So evidently, something is being sold for far less than it's worth, or something is, they're charging far less, or that what's being offered is, it's an imbalance. Same with the three measures of barley. Three measures of barley was worth far more than one penny a day. One penny might have been enough for 1/8 of a measure of wheat, or perhaps far less than three measures of barley. Should have cost far more than that. So what's going on here is this black horse rider is measuring something very important to sustain a person's daily life, but they're not offering enough to pay for it. It's a symbol of famine. And famine is following the second rider, which was on the red horse, who took peace from the earth, that and people should kill one another, and there was violence involved. And here in this third seal that's being opened, there is a famine. This makes much sense to me, in that God doesn't judge unfairly. And the Word of God will always judge us fairly. It'll always judge us justly. And so if there's something on one end of the scale which needs to be measured by the Word of God, it's going to be an even balance. The Word of God will be a just weight to whatever that issue is. But if you have a measure of wheat which is not being judged fairly, somebody is withholding proper payment in exchange for that wheat, or somebody is withholding proper payment in exchange for those measures of barley. And another way to look at this is it's not an improper way. When there's an eternal principle here that we're discussing this morning, which is God is the author of just weights. And God is the author of balance. That's the principle. God is the author of balance. And we saw that an improper balance is an abomination to God, or diverse weights that cause an improper balance. That's an abomination to God. What we're reading here in the third seal is an improper balance. It's an unjust balance. The two things that are supposed to equal each other are not equal at all. And this is no mystery. This is well known. And so this writer is withholding something that would create balance in people's lives. And if you look at it spiritually, when people withhold the word of God that would properly judge the souls of men and women and let them know how to reach balance in their lives, that's an abomination to God. And religion does this. Religion withholds the proper judgments of God so that the needs that men and women have to reach balance in their lives, they can never get there. Because the word of God, it might be given out partially, or it might be given out here, or it might be misapplied, and that diverse weight or the improper judgment, which is now trying to balance a person, is withheld, is not extended, is not preached, it's not comprehended, however you say it. And what happens is you have a condition here like death or famine. When the word of God is not extended to a person to help them create balance in their lives, it creates a famine in that person. It creates a condition where the lack of food is causing them to die slowly. Until ultimately that person, if you don't start feeding them what they need, they're not going to survive. And this is what's going on here. This is what's going on here. And following famine, there's another rider in verse 8 on a pale horse. And the rider that was on that horse was death and hell. And so following famine is death. But see, this is why it's so important that we so value the judgments of God that create balance in our lives. God is the author of a just balance, an eternal balance. There's a principle that we're discussing here this morning of the eternal balance of the judgments of God and how they help us keep our lives in balance. So that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. We began in Job, and Job was suffering because he was having trouble comprehending the just balance of God because of the suffering that he was going through. But it was God's desire ultimately that Job would be found, and he would find himself weighed by the word and not wanting. Amen? Amen. Before we go on, I'm going to use an illustration this morning, and I thought about actually making it or procuring it and putting it up here, but most of the rest of this message this morning is going to use a playground artifact that most of us have been on at one time or another, and that's a teeter-totter. Now, when you were younger, amen, I wonder if just about everybody here would raise their hand if I asked you, have you ever been on a teeter-totter or a seesaw? Now, I looked this up in Spanish because I thought, I wonder what the word is in Spanish for teeter-totter. Do you know, brother? Gangorra. That's what they said in the dictionary. Gangorra. Teeter-totter. Seesaw. And so you know how it goes. You got a seat on one side or a seat on the other side, or you're just... Eh? Romana. But it goes like this, right? Okay, there's another word in Cuba. And so, or a rail, and then you've got a thing in the middle. The technical word is fulcrum. Okay? Escucha bien, por favor. And you got this thing on the middle, this fulcrum, right? And that's what this thing teeters on. That's why they call that a teeter. It's teetering. Okay, you got one person on the other side and one person. Now, how many of you, I won't ask you to raise your hand, have ever been on the losing end of a teeter-totter? And so somebody heavier than you is on this side, right? And you're way up in the air on that side. And they think it would be just the funniest thing to jump off. And you go like that. Now there's another word in Cuba that... various words in Spanish for teeter-totter. And so, or conversely, you're on the teeter-totter and somebody thinks it would be quite funny if they got on their side and voom, and then you go flying. But a teeter-totter is meant to balance two weights, right? It's a principle of physics. It's meant to balance two weights. And this fulcrum, this thing, this pivot is in the middle, right? And so normally, if all things being equal, if nobody was on the teeter-totter, it would just be level like this, right? Because the fulcrum would be in the middle, the pivot would be in the middle, and there wouldn't be any more weight on this side than there would be on this side, and the ground that it sits on would be level, right? Because if the ground was like this, right, teeter probably go like that. So everything would be level, right? So we'll start with that, with a level teeter-totter. Okay. And I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not going to go into, which was interesting to me, but probably not to you, about physics and so forth. But the wonderful thing about teeter-totters is they illustrate this principle of balance. And some of the study that I was doing on my own account was the wonderful way that God has set in motion physical laws in the universe that demonstrate that it's His creation that everything should be in balance. There's a conservation, there's a principle of conservation of energy in physics. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So once God created energy in the universe, the theory goes that all the known energy that ever was is still there. Now, there's some that say that energy can be destroyed, but that hasn't been proven. The idea is all the energy that was ever there is still there. Amen. It's this idea of balance. And then I was thinking of these other laws. For every motion, there is an equal and opposite, or every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? That's Newton's third law of motion. And so these are things that nobody really cares about this morning, but and I went on and on and on. But this idea that God has balance. God has balance in the law of the universe. And the law of the universe seems to find its way into God's spiritual law. God is unique in that everything that God is and God does it flows from this center of God and into our physical universe, into our spiritual universe, even into us, that God wants us to be in balance, just as He does with all of creation. So life is like a teeter-totter, and that's why I was thinking of actually bringing a teeter-totter up here. But so if you can imagine my teeter-totter, I have this board, and then I have this fulcrum in the middle, this pivot. Just imagine as we go along this morning, I'll put my pivot out here. Okay. And everything is teetering and tottering on this pivot. And there's a person here and a person here, or something like that. And I'm going to use the elements of this seesaw as symbols of us. Okay, so see if you can follow along here. So the board that you would sit on, or the rail or whatever, we'll call that your life. all your existence, everything that you know, that you've come to, that, and even your present. In other words, your daily experience, that's the teeter-totter, that's the board, okay? It's your daily and your momentary experience. Everything that you bring to the event, every moment of every day, that's the board. And the fulcrum or the pivot, that's what you're using at that moment to balance your life, because it's a human condition. It's God's something. He's placed this in us, is this need to be balanced. And when we're out of balance, we feel it. And so what will balance, one of the things that will balance, there's two things that will create balance on this board that is weighing two weights. There's two things that will create balance. One is where you put this fulcrum on the teeter-totter. Okay. Now, if there was a real heavy weight over here, okay, and there was a real lighter weight over here, if this thing is in the middle, right, it's going to go like that. Now, let's say you move this pivot, and you put it closer and closer to the heavy weight, then the heavy weight's over where the light's away, it's over here. My pivot fell down. It'd be a lot easier to balance the seesaw, right? I mean, that stands to reason. That makes sense to us. We don't have to be physicists to get that, right? Even if you were to put the weight of the world right here, on this side, right? If you put this teeter-totter where the end of it is right over this pivot, and you put the weight of the world right on here, all of the things being equal, you can sit over here, or just a smidgen to the other side, right? You could sit over here, and the teeter-totter would be balanced, right? You put the weight of the world right there, or so very close to it, so that your weight now balances the teeter-totter. All right. So where you put this point, this pivot point, is important in balance. Now there's another thing that'll create balance. If this stays in the middle, okay, these are just illustrations, and there's a heavy weight over there, and that stays there, in order to create balance, you're going to have to either take some weight off of that side, or you're going to have to put some weight over here, right, to create balance. So we're going to use these symbols in our spiritual discussion this morning. Is the whole point of this whole message is, how do we create balance, or how is balance created for us in our lives? That pivot point is what we are using to create balance in our lives. Now, this pivot point, it can be a lot of things, and we'll read about some of them in the New Testament. This could be your philosophy, because people balance their lives, right, on their opinions or what they believe or their philosophy. So this could be your philosophy. That could be your, that's what you're trying to use to create balance in your life, is what you believe, your opinions. This could be, and there's a lot of things that people balance their lives on. This could be a loved one. Okay. This could be your job. We're talking about what creates balance in people's lives. In other words, they say, my job is going well, so in all other things, my life is going well. Because my job is what holds me up. My job is what creates balance in me. Or my loved one. If my loved ones are okay, I'm okay. Because my loved ones are creating balance for me. Or I believe strongly that you have to eat strawberries once a week. Or you get really sick and you are depressed. And so strawberries become your balance. So you get the idea, right? Anything could be balanced here. That's why what creates an unjust balance is an abomination to God. Because this can either be a just balance, create a just balance, or an unjust balance, depending on where you put it or what it is. Now, this also, and what God wants, is that this could also be the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God is Jesus. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. So this can also be Christ. What creates balance in our lives is also Christ. Christ should be the fulcrum, the pivot point, upon which our daily life is balanced. So this also is Christ. What you make of this and what you allow it to be is what it is. If you allow the Word of God to be what balances you, what pivots you, it will be the Word of God. If you allow it to be. If you allow this to be, or if this must be your philosophy, then that's what it will be. You determine what is creating balance in your life. You determine. Why? Because it's all about choice. We have the choice to either serve God or not serve God. He gives us that choice. That's why Adam and Eve are no longer in the garden, because they had a choice. Choice creates balance ultimately. Now, here's another thing that this could be. This pivot point or this fulcrum that supports you. This could be a mixture of things. Now, there might be the Word of God here, but there might be some of your own philosophy mixed in with it, or some of your own opinion. And we read in Revelation that there might have been some truth in the third seal mixed in with some falseness. Or there might have been some truth withheld, because there was a famine of truth in the way that we are using that analogy in the third seal. There was a famine of truth. In other words, people can also mix things to hold them up. The problem with this, if it creates famine, it creates weakness, and ultimately will create imbalance in your life. Because when you put a weight on this, if you've got some of your own opinions or some, and that's what's holding you up or creating balance, there's weakness there. The strength, if we are going to consider anything at all this morning to create balance in our lives, the strength of what creates balance is only the Word of God. Only Christ. There's no weakness here. Not if we're allowing that to be the pivot that creates balance in our lives. Okay, let's keep going. So that fulcrum can be a lot of things, and I want us to go back. The fulcrum could be those things that I mentioned. It could be an idea. It could be a love that you have. That could be your fulcrum. That's what you're pivoting your life on. And so if this gets moved or this gets threatened, it threatens the balance in your life. For some people, it's another person. For some people, this is a child. This is one of their children. And you say, brother, I have everything on the altar. My Isaac is on the altar. Until your Isaac is touched. And then you find out if this too is your Isaac. See? And then people, oh, brother, the weight on the other end of this scale is too heavy. And then people are moving this thing to create their own balance. And guess what? When we try and create our own balance, we never get it right. I think it should go over here, brother. It's too heavy, the weight that is confronting me. And so now this is my fulcrum, my love for my Isaac. And we're constant, and this is discouraging, to create balance when what you're using for balance is not the Word of God. That's discouraging. It's hard to get right. God wants that to be his son Jesus, to create balance. John 14:6, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. We're speaking about a just balance this morning. John 14:6. Jesus said he is the fulcrum. He is the pivot point. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, I am the pivot point. I am what creates balance. If we try and create balance in our lives using any other material but Christ or the Word of God, it's going to create, at the very least, a weakness in us. And at worst, we might fail. I'll make everything come out right if you'll allow me to place myself under you just right to support you. So God knows where to put himself under us just right so that our load is balanced. All right, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. These are witnesses that God is the just balance, and God is the elements of this balance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is just a preliminary. We're coming to some points here. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Okay. Now we start to get into some analysis here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, or it lasts, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. This has nothing to do with purgatory. This is what's meant to happen in this life. We are the ones who ultimately determine our balance in life. God is the one that creates the balance, but we will determine whether we allow God to create the balance in our life. We're either going to build on the Word of God, which is precious, and it's like gold or silver, or we're going to incorporate our building using other elements like wood, hay, and stubble. And the other elements are those things that I mentioned, our own philosophies, our own opinions, the love that we have for one of our children, our job, anything other than Christ himself. Ultimately, if we're building upon that, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. You say, brother, the love that I have for a loved one. And I say that because I have experienced all these things. So I can speak to myself over time. The Lord has had to test my pivot point and my fulcrum to ask me to be revealed to me. Are you building on me, or have you started to build incorporating something else? Because something else will create a weakness in you. And now he says here in this verse, I'm going to help you see what you've been building with. I'm going to help you see what you've been building with. And the way I'm going to help you see is I'm going to examine this fulcrum that is under you by the Word of God. And if there's anything that's in here that's just not the Word of God, it's going to get touched and it will be burnt. And somebody says, brother, that doesn't feel good. No, but we said in the beginning, I want to be weighed by a just balance. I don't want to be weighed by a false balance. I want to be weighed by a just balance. And so sometimes we have to be willing to let God examine the elements of that desire to make sure that what we're building with are those things that God can use to create balance in us. And so he examines our fulcrum and he says, you know, there's some things in here that I'm going to have to examine. I'll show you. And he burns it. Why? Because it's no good. It's wood. It's hay, stubble. You can't use it. And so that will get burnt by the heat of the word. And if we're willing to let God rearrange this fulcrum, the only thing that will be left is gold, silver, and precious stone. Or Christ. This will carry the load. This will carry the load. That's one of the miracles of being saved, is that before God saved us, we had lots of our own building material in our life. And it wasn't very sturdy to carry the loads that would come later. But as life goes on, sometimes the loads get heavier. And the miracle of God is that he anticipated that. He saved us, and he created in us these solid foundational elements, which now later will help us carry those heavy loads. Thank the Lord for that. And we've used this example before, but I've seen a lot of buildings that have been burned and destroyed. And so I get to see what the skeleton of the building looked like without all of this. And then when it had to be rebuilt, and I got to see how engineers designed it and how contractors built it. There's a lot of weight above your heads. Thousands and thousands of pounds of weight above your head. There's a lot of gravity pulling it to the earth, and we're sitting underneath it. You say, thank you, brother. I don't think I'll be able to worship anymore this morning. Well, somehow, all of this is designed and it's connected so that the weight of all of this is being transferred not onto your head, but onto load-bearing elements of the building. And in the case of this building, there's a steel frame that's strategically placed around this building, which is holding it up. And really what you see here is a curtain. This is just a curtain. It could be a sheet of bed sheet. It's just a curtain. It doesn't hold anything up. What's holding it up are really strong steel supports that are placed in these walls. And the load of all of this stuff here is being transferred to those steel supports. Amen. And those steel supports now, those columns, are transferring that load not just to a foundation, but to a concrete under the foundation. And all the load up here is being transferred through this skeleton down to the earth. And when one of these elements breaks, then yes, things can start falling down. But all of this load, this heavy load, is being transferred properly so that we can sit in here and enjoy church. That's the way it was designed. As a matter of fact, if you build this building not according to the design, the building inspector is supposed to stop you. And he's supposed to say, look, it says on the drawing here that you were supposed to put a steel column right here and a footing underneath it, and I don't see it. And not only that, he was supposed to be able, if he wanted to, he was supposed to be able to test that footing, the concrete in there, to make sure it was properly poured and the right strength and everything. In other words, there's testing going on while this is being built to make sure it was built according to the design. The same is true spiritually. God has so designed our lives. So if you build according to the design, it's not going to collapse. The design that God has created for you, if you allow the design to be built the way he designed it, it will carry whatever load is placed on it. Now this is actually a miracle, because in the natural world, that's not true. A design can only carry a certain load. And if you exceed that design load, it might fail. But in heaven, no matter what the load, you could put the weight of the world here, right on top of this, and God would still create balance in your lives. Think of it. You know the Greek myth of Atlas, right? And Atlas is holding up the weight of the world. Atlas is holding up the world. Amen. And you could put all of that weight right on here, and you could put this beam out here, and you could sit here. And if that was properly placed, you could sit here, and this would stay in balance. And what God does is he places the Word of God under you to properly support you. But we can't allow this to have wood, hay, and stubble in it, because if it did, it would collapse. And then as the weight gets stronger, see, you'll know what you're building with by how well you are able to stay in balance. And if your life is out of balance, examine the elements of all of this system here. What's holding it up? Okay, now we're still going. But now there's something underneath this fulcrum, right? We said it has to be level as well. So all of this is a type of Christ. What's underneath this is a sure foundation. Amen. So no matter where you put this, as long as it's also the Word of God, this sure foundation can support any weight that you place on it. But if you start to place this in something other than the Word of God, the system will fail. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A life that's out of balance needs to be recreated. Now, the other thing that people use for this pivot point for their lives, amen, especially before they come to God, it could be any of those things, but ultimately it's self. And so what God needs to do in order to rebalance a person's life, if this is sin, God needs to remove this. See? Oh, this is a miracle too. I was thinking about this yesterday. So this is sin, and this is what somebody is using to balance their life. It's the teeter-totter of life. It's everything that sin is. And so this has to be removed. When a person gets saved, this element of the teeter-totter, it has to get taken out. Sin has to be removed. Otherwise, your life will not stay in balance. Good luck. It just won't. And what needs to be replaced with sin is the Word of God, is Christ. Okay. So here we go. You're on this teeter-totter and you can't get off because it's your life. Amen. And the weight is heavy, and it so easily besets us, and the weight is heavy, and it's creating an imbalance in us. And this thing is not doing its job. It's getting in the way. It's not working. Amen. But I can't get off of this, and I don't know how to create balance in my life because I can't get off. Amen. And I had this image in my mind of God lifting this and holding this, your life, taking that out of the way, and then God putting it down over here. And you couldn't do this yourself. You couldn't get off of this balance that was out of balance. You couldn't do it yourself. God had to lift you and hold you. And then he took away that which was causing the imbalance in your life. And then he put you down on something that would create balance. And that's a miracle. And that's how it happened. So now later, as time goes on, and we are finding ourselves with these heavy weights. Amen. And you could say the sin that does so easily beset us, because the temptations of the enemy and the effect on our weary and well-doing and all of that. And we find ourselves beset by this. And he says in Galatians, why did you go back and start to use the beggarly elements of the world once again, when what I did for you was a miracle? Why are you going back now and starting to build in with your own philosophy, your own opinion? Why are you allowing now these different idols, the loves and the relationship and the things that are upsetting you? Why are you now trying to balance your life with those elements? Because it didn't work before and it's not going to work now. And somebody says, well, brother, I don't know how to keep balance in my life unless I do this. Because we desperately were created this way. We need balance. It's part of a universal principle. And that's not working, and so I need to create balance. But here's where God works in other ways. Okay. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6 again, and we're going to close here. Because we have this need, and when we're out of balance, we just don't feel right. We're out of sorts, and it gets worse. We're really depressed, really discouraged, so forth, when we're out of balance. God has set in motion a principle in the universe that demands balance. And so when a person's life is out of balance, then they do a lot of things to try and create balance. The problem is, if we are the one doing it and God needs to be the one doing it, then we create a mess. But it's simply a reaction by us to somehow try and get back in balance. And we're trying anything that we can use to try and get back in balance. And most of it doesn't work. But here again. And so this religious spirit was creating a famine of the word among the people. And it was killing them, because he was not respecting the cost of this. And furthermore, he was not providing what that individual needed to survive in this famine of the Revelation writer. If a person is out of balance, two possibilities exist. Either there's a problem with the gospel that's being preached, like here. It's not sufficient to create balance in people's lives. Or the gospel is sufficient, but the person is not able or they're unwilling to obey it. There's only two possibilities for this writer here. There's only two ways that this gets any traction in life. Either the gospel that's being preached does not contain the judgments necessary to build on this system, or it is sufficient, but a person either is not able or they're unwilling to obey it. Now we need to know, if it's us, which is it? There is enough truth in our understanding for us to build on a sure foundation. Therefore, the first possibility does not apply here. Even if one says, well, brother, you're not preaching it, and you fill in the blank. There's enough truth among us where if you want to be free from sin, you can be free from sin. You can't blame anybody. You can't blame anybody. So the first possibility does not apply. Therefore, if a life is out of balance, and this is the problem, in other words, it's what we're pivoting on is the problem, then you are either unwilling or unable to understand how to get rid of this. And you need to know which. If you're unwilling, that's a big problem. If you're unwilling, that's a bigger problem. If you are unable, it could be because you simply don't comprehend how. But if you're unwilling, that's a big problem. Because that means you are aware that you are building with wood, hay, and stubble, but you will not let the Word of God burn it up. That's a bigger problem. That's not my problem. So it is absolutely essential that we have a message which can burn up wood, hay, and stubble. Absolutely essential. Because at the end of the day, we have to be building on this. Now, the other thing that can create balance in a person's life, the first thing is that we are building, we are pivoting on Jesus Christ and His Word. And we are building on that sure foundation which creates a level place. But the other thing that can create balance in our lives, even though we're building on Jesus Christ, from time to time, we read that there are heavy weights that afflict us. And I have a verse here, which I hope I can find. I wonder if it's in Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I think of this whole system beneath and above as the Word of God and of Christ. So I'm on this teeter-totter, and I'm doing my best to make Him my pivot. I'm pivoting on Christ, and I'm letting God move the pivot wherever He wants to move it under me to support me. But I'm on my life, and there's all these heavyweights, things that can beset us, and it's not because I don't love God, it's just the way it is. And I'm on this thing, and I'm finding myself, constantly being, and this is uncomfortable to go through life like this. I'm thinking I've got it balanced, and then all of a sudden, And so one of the things that God says, look it, I can equalize the weight for you on your life. I can equalize the weight. First thing I can do is I can take some of these heavy weights over here. I can take them. So that now you can get back in balance. Right? And you're not doing this all the time. God can take. And so what's on this side? What's on this side are legitimate things that are on the scale of your life. It's your children. It's your grandchildren. It's the relationships that matter to you. These things have weight. I want to tell you something. I thought of this yesterday. It is not the negligent person, the foolish person, the not spiritual person that has heavy weights here. It's a person who cares about somebody else. If you didn't care about somebody else, you wouldn't have any weight over here. So don't beat yourself up. If there's heavy weights over here, it's because you care about somebody else. But ultimately, if we can't let God balance this for us, these cares will consume us. And then we'll start doing things that we shouldn't do to balance the weight, which is this illustration. And so God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I can carry some of this to get you back in balance. But we have to let him do that. If we're the kind of person that says, you know, brother, I just like to do things myself, this is a problem for you. It's hard for you to let Jesus, you know this, but it's hard for you to let him carry some of these heavy weights, for you to give them to him. It's hard for you to do this. And so they stay over here and they help you get out of balance. I mean, this is the message of the gospel of life, is that our life is intended to be in balance, and for you to be able to respond to this design, you have to obey what the design is telling you to do. Otherwise, it only works this way. And so Jesus says, make a decision to let me have some of the heavy weights that so easily beset you, so that I can create balance in your life. And don't build on anything else. Don't pivot on anything else. Now look, when our balance is threatened, a lot of times we incorporate things into our life which we think will help us, and there's nothing wrong with that. So when I say this, don't be offended, because I'm going to follow it up with a further statement. If you have a physical affliction and you need medication or intervention from someone to help resolve your physical affliction, in my judgment, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Person's just simply trying to get well. I mean, how unkind is it for tell people that they're not allowed to get well? Okay. But if you now place that here, sort of emotionally or psychologically or spiritually, you now say, I can't survive in life. I hope you follow what I'm saying. I can't stay balanced in my life. No, I'm not talking about a physiological balance where someone, let's say, has a certain condition in their body and they need a maintenance medication in order to stay balanced. Come on. Come on, I'm not taking that away. But it's where you use anything to now, that becomes part of what keeps balance, the balance of your existence, the balance of your spirit. That becomes a problem. You'll have to understand how this works for you. A person who loves their children. And by the way, I can say this because all of these things have been involved in my calculation. So somebody says, brother, were you preaching to me when you were... No. All of these things have been my calculation, my experience. Brother, when you say that we need to keep our Isaac on the altar, when we need to keep our children on the altar... Okay, and now our child gets touched by something, another person. I'm not speaking physically, it's emotionally, whatever, okay? Or it could be that you know, my child, my precious child, amen, is not having the advantage I think they should have because someone else is hurting them. And I'm not talking about in a physical way. I'm just saying, you know, life has a tendency to do this. And so you take your child off the altar, and now you start to build. And your child now becomes part of your fulcrum. Brother, do you know what you're talking about? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Don't make this about you. Make it about me, okay? That way you can worship with me and not feel condemned. Because I know how the enemy works. And this is the way he works. He'll take whatever is precious to you and he'll tell you, you must build this. You must build with this. This creates weakness. Because life has a way of continuing to load heavy weights on the other end of the scale. Life doesn't care about your problems. And now you have to depend on balance because it's a universal principle. And now you're having difficulty staying in balance. And so we need to ask ourselves, is it because I have built with some elements that are not strong enough to support me in balance? You have to ask yourself. I'm not saying you have. I'm saying you must ask yourself. So if you conclude, no, brother, that is not what I'm building upon. That is not what is I'm pivoting on. Really, what's causing this imbalance in my life are simply the heavy weights of life. Okay, then this is not the problem. So now we go over here and we say, God, can you carry some of those heavy weights? See? So I leave the design the way it's intended to be built, and I use it according to the Word of God. And then God helps me get back in balance. I don't know if any of this is making sense, but it seemed to. All right. We'll stop there because we have more to go after this. There's a principle in the Bible of an eternal balance. And God is so merciful to help us be able to live in a balanced way. And when we're not, when somehow our balance is threatened, we don't feel right. And so we can go back to these messages and we can say, Lord, amen. Do you think this is why Job was so upset? He wanted to be weighed. He was asking God, weigh me in a just balance so that you know that I have integrity. So obviously he felt that his integrity was threatened. And in the end of Job, and maybe we'll read that tonight, Job came out of this okay. Job once again found balance in his life. I think that is ultimately the glass half full message for all of us, that no matter where we find ourselves or how this message affects us, amen, if we love God, he loves us, he will help us find a balance in our lives. Let's stand. Amen.